doll. It's consciously connected. Yeah, I mean, it's consciously connected that is keeping you company. And someone that, mashallah, is moving around the country and really hands-on looking at the different situations. And he keeps up to speed. He's our very own member of parliament, the leader of the NFP. And alhamdulillah, he is someone that many call a firebrand, and I do agree. And we have the opinion that he walks the talk. Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And jazakallah khairah for joining us on Consciously Connected on a Sunday morning. How are you doing, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all is well. I'm in the city of Johannesburg after an oversight visit to the Mpumalanga province, particularly the areas of Barberton and Nelspruit, meeting with the communities and the mining company. And of course, we went to actually get a first-hand information of exactly what is going on in terms of illegal mining in the community and how it affects the communities, the high levels of crime. And some information were absolutely shocking. And I'll give you one good example. The lawyer who apparently represents most of these illegal miners virtually lives at court, because that's how much of work he has. But what is more important to note, that all the bail that is granted to these illegal miners, and in most instances, bail is given, despite the fact that they are a risk. You know, 250,000 is unusual in cash notes for a lawyer to produce to pay bail for a whole lot of suspects. Now, the question is, why are we not doing something about it? Particularly, you know, whether you're entitled to be carrying so much of cash, paying with cash, where did you get it from? Who are you acting for? And of course, the police commissioner, when I questioned on this, she says, yeah, but they can't question. I said, no, you can. You need to ask the lawyer where you're getting this money. He must declare where he's in, who is he giving it to, because there is limitations in the country in terms of you dealing in cash. It's money laundering. But I can tell you that, you know, some of the mining companies that we visited were doing a fantastic piece of work, while most of the others, I think, have taken the cream of the crop and deserted these mines. And foreign nationals, I mean, you know, they took us on a helicopter ride to go and actually view the very difficult terrain, particularly in that area, you know, over the mountains and things. And the footpath, we've been able to see how these illegal miners get to these mines. And I can tell you that we have a mammoth task in the country to be able to deal with this. Today, we are going to be visiting many other areas of Johannesburg, again, on the issue of illegal mining and the effect it's having on the communities there. Of course, the kidnapped Ukrainian woman has been freed. There's not much information that is unfolding, but there's some speculation it could have something to do with some big deal or whatever it is, or whether it's another kidnapping case, we don't know. What is strange is the police apparently were part of the negotiating team. So it depends on what that means, and we're waiting for some information. Member of Parliament and former councillor of Itegwini, Brendan Pillay, his brother's been shot dead in Chatswood, Bayview, or Unit 2, as people know it as. And yeah, there's a whole lot of speculation as far as that. Well, once again, you know, Brother Shafat, if you remember, on one of the other airways during the week, we spoke about the way we treat foreign nationals, particularly Zimbabweans, and soon we might, you know, be the other way around. Well, Zim is now going to become one of the largest steel producers in the African continent. How do you like that one? And yeah. And the other day we spoke about they are almost there in terms of discovering oil and things like that. So, yeah, Zimbabwe might be the future of the country, you know, the future country that people might have to go and may consider. But, yeah, these are just some of the things. The United States, once again, you know, concerns are being raised about the sabotage of the North, the strategic pipeline, the gas pipeline. ESCOM has five suspects inside who they have identified as part and parcel of the sabotage that is taking place. But all in all, Brother Jabir, we've had a very, very violent week, I must tell you, in many parts of the country, many hijackings. You've had cash in transit, armed robberies. Many gangsters have been killing each other. If another one in retreat, two of them were on the way, kingpins of a particular gang, which they call the 27s, and told were shot and killed. Another robbery in Grassy Park. So Cape Town is being hit, I think, with the high levels of crime of recent. There is an attack. Yeah, sorry, you can go ahead.
No, no, there are so many people going out to Cape Town, you know, saying it's a safer place. And, you know, many call it semi-grating. But in fact, it seems as if Cape Town is, you know, quite a dangerous place to be in.
Certain parts of Cape Town, yes, particularly where the crimes are being committed. But also remember, we must take note of the fact that criminals migrate from time to time. But when you're hot on the heels in a particular province, you find that they move to another province and another location. But there's no doubt about it. Cape Town is, the crime rate is quite high. Well, if you had to compare it to the other, and maybe perhaps because Cape Town gets a lot more attention than, you know, we seem to, you know, take note of it. But that does not mean it doesn't happen in other provinces. I can tell you Gauteng has also got a problem. A serious problem in terms of crime. And, you know, we often, you know, pin this more on the undocumented foreigners in the country. And it's not necessarily the case. However, you know, one thing that comes to mind, Brother Shafat, is in Zambia, how South African vehicles that were hijacked or stolen in South Africa are freely available in Zambia. And more importantly, not only freely available, government officials are driving these stolen vehicles in Zambia.
Oh, wow. What a story. Eh? What a story. This is Africa. Maybe the whole world is captured by this. But another, you know, a frightening thing that's taking place in South Africa is, as motorists, you're not safe anymore. You know, besides the hijacking and the crime levels and all, you're getting a taxi or the taxi associations that are, you know, allowing the members to stop people on the freeway and check them up, what type of car they're driving and why are they, you know, cutting the business of the taxis and so forth. I mean, if you're driving with your family innocently and you find this type of thing happening, it seems as if these guys are getting away with impunity. And there's a taxi mafia cartel is one of the most sinister cartels you get in this country. I mean, no law implies to them. And if you want to impound the taxis, they bring the whole, you know, the whole province to a standstill by blockading the freeways or going into the metros and, you know, blockading the streets and so forth. Talk to us about this culture of these taxi associations, Ahmad.
There's no doubt about it. They appear to be a law unto themselves. And because they align themselves with political parties and politicians and political parties want that support from the taxi industry because, you know, they've given a lot of importance to the taxi industry because of the number of passengers that they carry and things. And they also know that they are very violent and they can be brutal as well. The city of Cape Town has got a massive problem when it comes to Uber and Bolt. Their vehicles are getting impounded all the time. And the city is introduced a special permit over and above the operating permits and things that they have, a special permit. But on the other hand, they can't get the permit. And it appears that it might have something to do with the taxi industry putting pressure on the city, not, you know, to limit the number of special licenses they're giving. Granting to these operators of Uber and Bolt, even though there's a demand for it currently. But the city, on the one hand, is who's ought to and introduce this legislation of the special permit, is not giving them the permit despite their applications, their appeals and whatever it is, but impounding these vehicles. And so particularly if you board an Uber or a Bolt and you sit at the back seat and there's nobody in front, then the police officers will, you know, 9 out of 10 times identify you as a Bolt or an Uber. And then they stop you and you've got a problem. So it helps them when a traveler sits in the front, although travelers prefer to sit in the back when you've been taking a Bolt or an Uber. But I can tell you that they even, the police, I'm told, are so well organized. They know exactly what to look for when it comes to these other operators like Bolt. And they look at exactly where your cell phone is because they know these guys are, you know, having the their cell phones on hand all the time for locations and things like that of nature. So they are really terrorizing these people, all as a result of the pressure that you're getting from the taxi industry. And so, you know, if you remember not long ago, you know, it escalated into serious violence. Even the Uber and Bolt had to protest and strike and demand protection and that kind of thing. So it simply means that even the city of Cape Town are being held hostage by taxi industries. I mean, you can see what happened in the Golden Arrow bus a day ago, too. These armed robbers got in there and went from passenger to passenger, asking them to hand over everything, you know, and this happened in Mitchell's Plain. So the taxi industry particularly and the bus, the bus were also known to be notorious, but I can tell you that you don't appear to have a problem with the bus operators at all. But the taxi industry is known to be linked to even cash in transit, armed robberies, and things like that. Assassinations appear to be number one on the list when it comes to the taxi industry.
You know, Ahmad, you talk about the buses not being safe and all that. And, you know, many years ago, I mean, you remember when we were like East, we used to take the bus. I mean, I remember living in Spingo Beach. And sometime, you know, you went to Durban, you took the bus. And the best part was when you in Clearwood, when you took the bus from Clearwood, yeah, there was a culture about the bus culture. You had the, you know, which was the fastest bus and which was the most this bus and that bus. And, you know, it should take you to Durban, that culture, and it was a very safe culture indeed. And perhaps maybe because of, you know, we had to take separate buses and all that. But that culture, you'll never get back again. You know, the safety of the bus going and coming, you know, going and coming. And at any time you could go in a bus. Maybe now and then you found the pickpocketer. But if he got caught, Ahmad, you know what they did to him. They really made mincemeat of the individual. So no one really thought of pickpocketing. But subsequently, the bus service of Itikweni, I mean, that they built lovely bus ranks and so forth, but it never came into being. Why, Ahmad?
Well, first of all, you know, the bus owners previously, brother, took so much of pride in those buses. And we were spoiled for choice in the bus you wanted to take to travel. And these guys, believe me, used to polish those tires and, you know, you just knew which bus you wanted to take.
Absolutely.
You know? I remember there was one called Magashlin's, I think it was. It was purplish in color, and I promise you, spotless when you've seen it. So, you know, it was like a pride and joy of this bus company operators for their drivers and their conductors, which is what they call them, in making sure that their buses were spotless and clean and things. And we've hardly ever had, you know, incidents of violence. There were isolated cases here and there. But today, you know, it's another ballgame. But on the issue of Itikweni, remember there's a link there with the Kaaba brothers, who's linked to former President Jacob Zuma and whoever it is, who is like a mafia operator there. In fact, I'm told that he also runs the taxi industry there as well. And the Bolt and Uber guys have a major problem with them as well in KwaZulu-Natal. And remember that one stage they handed this over to them, and over and above giving him the contract and whatever it is and the buses to run it, they even went and gave him millions of rands to run the operation. And then it ran underground and then went and, you know, gave more monies. So, you know, there's a kind of a mafia that operates even linked to the ruling party. There's no doubt about it because they know exactly what is going on. But remember, Brother Shepherd, you know, I was having a discussion with some people who came to meet me at the hotel yesterday. And the moment you align yourselves as government or any institutions in government with the public sector to the extent where you benefit from them, where they you receive monies from them, you've already compromised and you're at their mercy all the time. And this is exactly what happens. So when people, you know, fund you for your campaigns and provide taxis and transport and pay for these things, and things, and particularly T-shirts, which is a big business when it comes to politics, okay, then you are so compromised that you have to give these people. And then in turn, you are giving them all these contracts. So they're not really giving you from their pockets. They're giving you because they're benefiting from this corruption, looting, and the tenders that they tend to be getting. And that is why you find that the value for money that you get is minimum, because you're paying 5 times or 10 times more the price than the value of the goods, because these people in between must make money. And when they make money, they must also fund the political parties. So this is why, you know, a lot of the money is not directed to the actual delivery of services, but rather into the pockets of individuals. And that is why this country has created 17,500 black millionaires and multimillionaires through the BEE, Black Economic Empowerment Process.
Yeah, the BEE and the unions and so forth. Hey, the country is still recovering from that. Allahu alam, when will all this come right? But Ahmad, also when you look at you know, these Zama-Zamas, and the thought that goes through my mind that they are so powerful, you know, they are like an entity to themselves. But many say there's another story to the Zama-Zama, that some of these minds are complicit you know, helping them out, because the Zama-Zamas are making good money, but someone else is making better money, and some are pointing fingers, or allegedly pointing fingers at minds that are allowing this to happen. Your thoughts on that, Ahmad?
Yeah, it's a twofold thing. I raised this just even in Mpumalanga as well. However, I can tell you, and I think the reason for that is that it might be, you know, because of the VAT and things. Now, 15% is a lot of money. If you look at the value of the goods, to what extent illegal mining is taken off in South Africa. So there are indications that is, but although there's no evidence pointing to that. But what the problem is that many of these mines who entered into contract with government have basically mined, taken the cream of the crop. And what is left, they are supposed to rehabilitate that place. And they fail to do that. So they leave it unused or deserted. And there is still raw materials and minerals and things there. So this is why the illegal miners are actually going in there. But on the other hand, I mean, we've had the opportunity of looking at some of the mining companies, and they're doing a fantastic piece of work. But I can tell you, with the one last mining company that we spoke to, the amount of money that they spend on security alone is unbelievable. That's just, I mean, they put, and they also, you know, invested a lot for community projects and that kind of thing. But there are, you know, kingpins, big business, and of course, all indications are, although they're waiting for evidence to that effect, that politicians and things are also involved in this illegal mining. What is very clear that the ABC party in Lesotho appears to also be a major problem. And of course, they appear to be receiving funding, although they say they're denying it, other than these guys roll out T-shirts and that kind of thing. But we have seen video clips and things of wanted illegal miners, kingpins that are addressing rallies of political parties in Lesotho and things. So the problem seems to be much bigger. If you look at the raid that was made a week ago and the arrest and the vehicles that were seized, a lot of luxury vehicles. There's a girlfriend, I think, a wife of one of the Zama-Zama kingpins that's arrested, says that she's been bringing bags and bags of cash and gold and whatever it is, and she's been warning him about it, but he'll have nothing of it, and yeah, he's been arrested. So you can see a very lucrative business. A lot of money is being paid. And let me tell you once again, you know, when we were here at these mines, the going price for some commodities like food products, I can tell you people are paying exorbitant prices just for streetwise two was going up to 2,000 rand in some of these mines. Can you imagine? For illegal miners underground. So there's a lot that's going on. And you are correct to some extent that mining companies have been complicit in what is going on. they have not done what they are supposed to do, but also to some extent it will benefit them, particularly when it comes to taxes and things like that.
Ahmed, and before I let you go, China is buying up all the gold. Wherever there is gold, come to China, and they're buying it left, right, and center. And it says the Chinese government's got the most gold in the vault. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Well, you know, gold is very lucrative, and to enter into the gold market, is investments have always grown. And perhaps they have insight into what is going to happen in years to come, given the fact that they want to stop using the dollar and the pound and all those things. And so maybe China, Russia, and all these countries have got a plan in place. But it's a wise move if that's what they are doing.
You know, Ahmed, Ahmed, you know what they're doing? They're using their dollars, I'm talking about China, as bullets. And they're buying gold with it. Can you believe it? I mean, this is a stroke of genius, Ahmed. I mean, they reckon, hey, this thing's going to come. Let's get the dollar in. And they're actually getting rid of their dollar, Ahmed. Genius.
Yeah, they don't want to use their dollar. That. But I think it's a move. I think it. But you can see that the United States is not going to sit back. They're not going to sit back. They're going to retaliate with some of their allies. And let me tell you, I think people are underestimating the seriousness of what's happening, which might just end up to be World War III.
Well, Ahmed, on a more positive note, our Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, we're talking about the seerah of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam this month. It was this month, you know, he was born and so forth. And perhaps, you know, something about Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before I let you go that you want to share with the listeners that made an indelible impression on you. What was it, Ahmed?
Well, you know, for me, given what is happening in the country and how we tend to treat others, and if you look at the statement that was made by our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that no Arab is superior to a non-Arab, no white is superior to a non-white, you know, just that means so much if you really look at it and look at the prejudice people enjoy in society today. You look at people differently because of their color, you look at them different because of their caste, you look at them different because of what sect you belong to and things. It's a message that I think our people should pay a lot of attention to, and then they will understand how important it is for you to treat everybody equally in society.
I tell you, absolutely brilliant, Ahmed. You always on the beat there. Jazakallah khair for sharing all your, you know, the input that you give us. Really, you are an asset to broadcasting. Nay, you're also an asset to Islam. Ahmed, you have a beautiful and lovely day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.